Our next presenter is Brigida Johnson. And Brigida is a postdoctoral ethnomusicology fellow in the Art and Music Histories Department at Syracuse University. She specializes in African American music, and her specific interests and past research include soul music and the emergence of neo-soul, sacred music traditions in the African diaspora, and gospel music and worship practices found in African American megachurches. She is currently writing a book manuscript based on her dissertation, "Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing, Music and Worship in African American Megachurches of Los Angeles, California." Today's paper is about her experiences as the fieldwork project manager for the Gospel Archiving in Los Angeles project, also known as GALA, conducted by the UCLA Ethnomusicology Archive in conjunction with the Heritage Music Foundation of Los Angeles. And just a little background, Brigida, not to, you'll probably cover this, but it was a grant-funded project. Yeah. I'll let you describe that. So the title of this paper is Out in the Field with UCLA Gospel Archiving in Los Angeles.
Thanks. Often the issue of archives and repatriation is discussed in terms of dichotomous and unequal exchanges between members of a collecting culture and the collected culture. As archiving approaches expand, however, the latter, specifically groups from within cultural heritage communities, as they are also referred to, can themselves be considered community archivists. While not afforded with access to modern archiving facilities and techniques, there are some groups whose responsibility to a community's music culture extend beyond performance and include various forms of preservation. After decades of functioning as ad hoc community sound libraries, privately held collections of amassed recordings and ephemeral materials run the risk of being lost to poor storage or environmental conditions, or even worse, thrown out by descendants who look upon shelves of long-playing records, reel-to-reel tapes, and cassettes as relics in unplayable sound media. Founded in 1981 by composer and educator Dr. Margaret Pleasant-DeRoe, the Heritage Music Foundation, or HMF, is an example of a nonprofit performance and outreach organization within a heritage community that engages in preservation of audiovisual materials, but who do not have access to a long-term archival facility. In an effort to promote what John Valier refers to as communal archiving, the UCLA Ethnomusicology Archive acquired a UCLA-NLA Community Partnership Grant in 2004 for a year-long collaboration with HMF in archiving and documentation project called Gospel Archiving in Los Angeles, or GALA. The archiving project was not only focused on collecting recorded materials, but also included a very large ethnographic audiovisual component in which graduate students, members of the LA Gospel Community, and Heritage Music Foundation recorded and documented gospel music events hosted by HMF, as well as other groups in the city. While serving as the fieldwork project manager for GALA, I experienced the archival process from several perspectives, including as a somewhat new member of the LA Gospel Community. This paper will briefly give an overview of the scope of the fieldwork side of the GALA project and features some photo and video examples showing people, events, and places that were documented over the year. It is hoped that the GALA project and other joint efforts like it illustrate how institutionally supported community archiving programs can empower cultural heritage communities by assisting their preservation activities, as well as increase community awareness and the use of institutional archives by the heritage communities themselves. So as the fieldwork project manager, the largest part of my job was to organize and lead the recording of the calendar events of the Heritage Music Foundation. I wore several hats. You know, certain days I was the camera girl, the sound girl, a roadie, the consent form wrangler, documentarian, recruiter of the recordists that we were using, all that, you know, sometimes two or three times in one event. And just for information's sake, HMF is a very active performance, education, composition, leadership, and mentorship organization dedicated to the perpetuation of African-American sacred music. So in addition to gospel, they also perform, teach, compose, and or arrange spirituals, meter music, traditional gospel, contemporary gospel, gospel jazz, and praise and worship music. So the GALA project began, and actually they do this year-round, so when we say recording with them a year-round, they actually have events throughout the entire year. So the Gala Project began in May of 2004 with acquiring HMF's sound collection for preservation's sake. For years, they had been trying to build a gospel house, basically, or a black equivalent of the Grand Ole Opry for black gospel music on the West Coast. Oftentimes, when you think of gospel, you think of Midwest or the South. Los Angeles has a very rich contribution to gospel music history, and oftentimes it gets ignored. So part of Dr. DeRoe's mission was to create a gospel house to actually showcase what LA has brought to the gospel music history, and also a performance space and teaching space. And so the first part of the project was began with John Valier, the former UCLA head archivist of the Ethnomusicology Archive, and Jacqueline Cogdell JJ, the former director of the archive, helping HMF draft a gospel house proposal package that could be shown to potential donors and people involved in helping them build a gospel house. Valia also and I, for that first part of the summer, spent time with Glenn Ford, who is HMF's administrator and event planner, counting, documenting, and actually categorizing all of their recorded holdings. They had audiovisual, record collections, they had sheet music, some commercial recordings they had collected over the years, and even though the HMF had been founded in 1981, Margaret Pleasant DeRoe is actually a kind of a leading figure for gospel, and her lineage goes back through her parents, Olga and Earl Pleasant, who were some of the first people to bring gospel to Los Angeles in the 1930s. So when we say records, we mean records going back into the 40s and 50s. And also live recordings. They had been documenting their events over the years. So conferences, concerts, cassettes of a radio show that Dr. DeRoe did for the history of gospel music, all that was in their collection. So we actually, John and I and Glenn were going to the several locations where all their holdings were, including someone's garage. They had an office over in Inglewood in another church building. And so we're going around just cataloging what they had before we were starting to bring some of their recordings into the archive. And so I'm going to start the slideshow to kind of give you a visual as I continue to talk about the Gala Project. And by July, we started the fieldwork component, and we initiated that. And I was able to hire some graduate students, as well as people from the community, to come in and help document the events that HMF had put on for the year. Basically, each month from July of 2004 to June of 2005, Heritage Music Foundation hosted some kind of musical event at least once a month. During Founders Month of March, there were four separate events for each week. And during the National Conference and Expo during October 2004, there were multiple days of workshops. I think it was 4 days of workshops being held at the Greater New Bethel Baptist Church, as well as the Radisson Hotel just down the street. Actually just down by the airport in LAX. And so it included concerts, we recorded their rehearsals, there was a brunch and a fashion show component to the conference, we all recorded that, and everything was recorded on DAT tape and at least usually two mini DV cameras. And so most of the 325 hours of audio and visual recordings we made during the Gala Project were with the Heritage Music Foundation, so it's a lot of hours. And though locally based, Heritage Music Foundation is the organization with affiliate chapters in other parts of the country. So in certain events, like the Founders Month events or during the National Conference, you had artists coming in and performers and musicians coming in from places like Texas and affiliate chapters in Maryland and D.C., as well as other parts of California. And they were bringing people into the city as well as the people from the local gospel scene. Often, there was either very little, no personnel, no time or equipment to document other events outside of HMF, but we actually did squeeze some time in to get some other events as well. One in particular included a performance, a gospel gala performance by a local group known as the Tim Peterson Singers. They're a small ensemble singing group, and they had a concert over in Inglewood in which they invited a variety of groups. And one in particular we're going to see in this slideshow is a Filipino gospel group called Back on Track, and so I'll tell you talk about them a little bit later. It's a pretty good story how we met them at that concert and actually was able to incorporate them with Margaret DeRose Group later on in the year. Another important event that we recorded that you'll probably see when we get to the slides showing people all dressed in white is we recorded the annual consecration service of the Los Angeles chapter of the Gospel Music Workshop of America. They actually have, before they go to the national conference, the LA chapter of GMWA always hold a consecration service. And so it's at Mount Moriah Missionary Baptist Church, a church that actually was founded by Dr. DeRose's father, and a big center for the growth of gospel music in Los Angeles. And so we kind of basically went there and recorded that event prior to their journey to their national convention, and that's one of those things they actually do every year. Most Gospel Music Workshop of America chapters hold consecration services before they go off to the national convention, so we actually got to capture that on audio and video. And so basically what I have here in our slideshow is kind of a look at what was happening during that year. Like I said before, every month had a particular event. Either it was a workshop for new music where DeRose would invite in young composers or new composers to show their pieces. Our first event with them was a praise and worship workshop where they brought in people to introduce new praise and worship music locally written. That's a slide of Back on Track. During the Founders Month, they had a youth night where you see Biola University Gospel Choir. There was Back on Track invited to also perform and sing. This is a slide from the LA chapter consecration service. And the LA chapter is one of the largest chapters of the Gospel Music Workshop of America, and it's led by Rodina Preston Williams, and that is her mother, Robbie Preston, and if you recognize that last name, she is the mother of the late Billy Preston, and she passed a little bit at the last part of the Gala Project. And so we saw a couple of groups, the Hollywood chapter of GMWA, and some of the diversity that exists within gospel in Los Angeles is there as well. And so I want to conclude to kind of talk about some of the overlapping partnerships. In addition to us working with HGMF and bringing in people like Glenn Ford to help digitize some of the recordings, we also had a chance to bring in people from other churches to help record, because of course we had graduate students for the most part, but we also included people from other churches who I kind of knew from my connection that could come in and help record and move around like on the movable camera, in some cases help to collect consent forms, because a lot of the events we did for HMF, they were very informal. There was no time limit. Oftentimes, there was no programming. So a lot of times, the collection of the metadata, we'll actually see, I can kind of show you a little bit of it, on the online, it's very thorough. So you won't go in and look at a video and say, well, who is that guy on the keyboard? We know who that guy on the keyboard is because Professor JJ was very adamant about documenting everyone who was there. So this is an actual snippet from the finding aid from our praise and worship concert that we recorded, or workshop we recorded. And if you see, it basically names all of the performers, the location, the times, the places, and oftentimes the scope and content note includes, oh, it's kind of small. It actually includes what happened moment by moment by moment. So it's either I or someone was there, was documenting every song, every performer. And also the holdings include the consent forms. There are also photographs. And as you see, this is DV tape 4 of 6. Oftentimes, even with cameras there, it was not a concept of, well, this is a show for the cameras. They basically had church. So when they have a workshop, it starts with devotion, about 30 minutes of singing and prayer. And they go until the Spirit says it's time to go home. So initially, when I was, you know, talking to John about our tapes and needing more tapes, he's like, need more tapes? I said, yeah, we need more tapes because every event is about 3 hours long. We're getting out at 11:30 at night on a weeknight. And so we're documenting the whole event as it's unfolding. And oftentimes that includes impromptu singers. Margaret DeRose met a young lady a week prior to the Praise and Worship Conference. And she was this raw talent. And she was sitting in the back of the church. And she got up and she asked her to sing something for the people. And she had this glorious voice that just transformed the whole mood of the actual event. And people just went in worshiping at that moment. And so we were there to capture those moments. And so that kind of thing happened quite a bit. And also the documenting of rehearsals was very important for this project, because oftentimes we see gospel and we see how it happens. We see the end product, but we never see how it gets there. And so in this particular case, I brought an example. I don't know why that little question mark is there. I think that's, you know, Microsoft playing a trick on me. But this is actually our digital camera that the archive had broke during the project. And so it was a moment where we basically had to use my own camera. And it's not the top of the line camera, but it was definitely better than what the archive had at that point. We eventually got a new digital camera. But this is a snippet from the conference where the legendary Calvin Bernard Roan is teaching a new song to the convention members. And so you'll hear him explain something about the articulation of a lyric. And so a lot of times, like I said, you'll see the end product, but this is the recording of the rehearsals by this organization actually gives a lot of insight to how gospel music gets, you know, how it gets done between the actual, you know, written music or the inspirational moment to actually communicating it to the actual performers. So I'll play a little bit of that.
What I'd like to do is this.
Okay, so basically he's kind of talking about the words, how to say the words. And so a lot of the richness of gospel vocal performance we got to capture on film. This next example, I think I talked about in our PowerPoint presentation, was the capturing the moments. And so in this particular example, there we go. This is Larea Ransom. She's actually, if you can tell, she's in a wheelchair. You probably saw her picture in the slideshow. And this is a song that was written during that year or for that year. And the name of the song is Last Night, but the long version is Last Night While Counting My Blessings. And so she's a survivor of a car accident. And so in the midst of the last ending point, part of the National Convention and Expo, Dr. DeRoe was talking about miracles. And so she basically, and this is Dr. DeRoe here at the podium, she introduces Larea Ransom to sing something for the people. This often happens in the, you know, gospel context. We have impromptu singing. And she was sitting there, and so she, you know, of course, there's a keyboard on the side there. And so she sang a little bit of it, of the song that they had learned during that week at the conference. And sitting behind her is her godfather. So this is a little bit of her singing that song Last Night While Counting My Blessings. Let me go back to this one. Okay. Dr. Rose saying, she's a miracle, she's a miracle. That last line was, my days look brighter in the morning sun. So she's in the wheelchair singing about last night while counting my blessings, my soul got brighter and my soul got lighter. And so she's a, you know, basically a kind of a testimonial moment that we caught a lot in the Gala Project as well. And just to conclude, there were some other overlapping partnerships that happened. It's because we were collecting so much material, not just their recorded collection, but as well as the live documentation, we were running out of time by the time June 2005 rolled around. And luckily, there was a National Endowment for the Arts, Traditional Arts Growth Fund that came about. And I saw it, and I basically, you know, applied it to Professor JJ. I think this is something we could do to help bring Glenn back in to help us catalog and digitize some more of this metadata. And we actually won the grant and got a couple of dollars to extend the project on into July. So that's why I used that date of July 2005. And also during the project, because we're recording so much music and information, one of our camera recorders is also recorded from the community, is also a a budding filmmaker, and he did his own editing, and so he was basically saying, well, we can put together a promo video or DVD for Heritage and for the archive to give an 8-minute synopsis of what the Gala Project is. And so we kind of produced that together from some of the clips we take, video clips we've taken, and it's been showed in the archive. I think we show it to some young people when they come in the summertime, and we also gave it to Heritage so they can use it in their promotional materials when they're trying to get donors for the Gospel House. And one update, of course, the economic downturn has halted some things, but they were in the act of securing a space or a potential space for the Gospel House in 2009. I think that's been put on hold because of what happened with the economy, but it has been some progress since the Gala Project as far as helping them to promote themselves in the community and achieve their goals. So I'm going to stop there so we can have time for questions.
Questions?
Okay, well, let me give you a disclaimer. Those videos were from my personal camera, so I probably should just let you know, if you go to the archive, the recordings you will hear and see are far better than that. Those are in the archive. I did not bring them out. We mainly want to try to promote people going to the archive. There is, we have a lack of time here, but there is, when you go to the UCLA Archive website, there is a gala section, and there is streaming audio from what we recorded, so the video is definitely digital, very much better than that. The audio was better, and it's, for the most part, they're digitizing the project in that part, so they have better video examples than I do, definitely. And I think that's most of what your question was about. Okay. My objective for these videotapes or the ones in the archive? Okay, so the partnership project was, part of it was partnering archive with a community group who was a nonprofit. We collected a lot of their materials to kind of save them from just being deteriorating in the garage, because for the most part they were just sitting out. And so now they're in the Southern Regional Library facility under UCLA's holding, so they're holding those things for them until they get a Gospel House. And then the other parts of the collection, like some of the things that Professor JJ collected from other community members, they're in the archive because they were donated by different people. So that's part of that preservation, as well as getting people to come into the archive, see what it's about, learning about the archive, and helping to kind of preserve even more contemporary views of gospel music. A lot of times you think of gospel, people think of the 1950s and 60s version, but gospel is a living tradition, and a lot of times the performance of it in the church settings is not being shown. When you watch movie depictions or television depictions, 98% of those are not really accurate. So in this project, we basically did the point-and-shoot method. There was no editing. We kind of got it as it came, as it happened, and that's what we have in the Gala Project collection. They're all in that project because Heritage Music Foundation is not a denominational group, and so Margaret DeRoe will attract people from all denominations, and as far as gospel is concerned today, there is very little distinction between denominational groups because a lot of people are doing the contemporary styles of music, which has bases in traditional regional sounding styles and denominational traditions, but a lot of it is sounding and being performed as a shared tradition at this point. And so you do have your Pentecostals, you have your apostolics, you have your Baptists, you have your Methodists, and there's a lot of blending that's been happening for the last 40 years. And so they will all be present in this collection.
One more question.
I think it sounds like a really ambitious, interesting project. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about
It's two things. One, they're very happy that their collection is somewhere and not in a closet and not in the garage. That's part of that. The other part is until the Gospel House gets built, they know it's in a safe place. And then when we have things with the archive, there have been a lot of programs with the World Music Summer Institute. It's a part of that program to take students to the archive. And so one of the organizations or the ensembles, the Gospel Music Ensemble, they always come to the archive and they are usually exposed to the Gala Project. When you go to the website or the Ethnomusicology Archive website, there's that information about the Gala Project and explains the goals, explains the history of gospel in LA. And anytime that, you know, a lot of times people, just if you go to the online Archive of California and type in Gala, the whole project just comes up. And so when people are researching about it, they find out about the Gala Project and they go to the site that's been set up and that huge kind of finding aid. And I think John Valier has written about it a little bit. So there's this, the online, community online server, community archive server. So they kind of established that. The year prior to the Gala Project was Afamila, where they went and recorded Filipino-American or Filipino performances in Los Angeles. And so that's kind of a continuing project of the UCLA Archive, where they're getting into the community to kind of record different things, as well as document and collect things.
Okay. Thank you very much, Brigida. We're out of time. We move on to our next presenter. To clarify one thing, those videos are now not up on the Archive website. They were for a while, and we migrated to a new website and haven't been able to reconnect them. But they, as you mentioned, they're not the best quality. The best way to see them is in the archive. And the other thing, to answer your question about what the project did in terms of relationship between the archive and the community, it really built a gospel collection, and particularly a Southern California gospel collection in the Ethnomusicology Archive that we did not previously have. And so, as Brigida said, when we have classes or students or community members who are interested in that, now we have a reference collection that previously did not exist.